Dave Ricardo Gray, the Portuguese Sportsline on Scarapay Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. You're welcome once again to Sportsline here on Scarapay Community Radio on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM and on the TuneIn app. And on today's show, joined as always by co-presenter Pat McNamara. And our special guest on this today's show is well-known McNamee winning journalist and author, journalist, retired examiner and author from Kilkenny, the one and only Inda McAvoy. And now we're delighted to be joined on the line by well-known author and journalist with the Irish Examiner, one of the best-known journalists in the game of sport, a man who won a McNamee Award a number of years ago. It's Inda McAvoy. Inda, you're welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Go on. Inda, we're going to start with the league semi-finals last weekend. And, you know, I suppose, I think that you said in your piece, everybody was saying who was going to be playing Limerick in the final. And next thing, Limerick are defeated by Kilkenny on Saturday and Clare overturn Tipperary on Sunday. Your thoughts on the league semi-finals, Inda?
Yeah, look, we knew they were going to be kind of influenced to at least some extent by the Munster Championship, especially given that Clare and Limerick are meeting on April the
21st,
yeah, which is a fortnight after the league final. So, look, we had no way of knowing beforehand that Limerick would not be up for it, and that with Limerick going out, Clare obviously said to themselves on Saturday evening, look, we may as well go for this against Tipperary and try and win it. That's what happens, obviously. But, I mean, you could not forecast that beforehand.
Yeah, and looking at Kilkenny and Limerick, first of all, on Saturday, and you know, it was very hard. You saw Limerick got off to a blistering start. You were saying, my God, these lads are really up for this. And didn't they just capitulate it altogether?
Yeah, and look, obviously something to do with the mindset. Yeah, I think we can safely conclude that if Limerick had really wanted to win that match, they would certainly have given a much better account of themselves, whether they would have wanted to win it or not in the end. So look, I think the obvious conclusion is the correct one. They decided they didn't need to win the league or even to appear in the league final this year, and that their sole focus is April the 21st against Clare. And one thing I was kind of speculating on a couple of months back at the beginning of the league, given that, you know, Limerick every year, they try and do something different in that, we'll say, you have Kyle Hayes at centre-forward, you then have Kyle Hayes at wing-back, you have Keane Lynch at centre-forward, you know, going through the season last year, they ended up with Will Donoghue back at centre-back and Grayson Declan-Hannon. Obviously, the last couple of years, Barry Nash has been recycled as an attacking cornerback. So, given that Limerick won the league last year, it wasn't unexpected they wouldn't try and win it this year, but they would just do something different to vary it and maybe give themselves a little bit of a break as well.
Yeah, and looking at the games that they played, you know, really some of the games that they played in the league weren't that taxing. You know, you had Antrim, you had Dublin, and Westmeath, with all disrespect, they pushed him away quite easily. The only game really that they got was against Galway, and they drew that actually with the 14 men. So really, maybe you'd say, were Limerick are they undercooked at this time, or is it just that they have that they're in whatever cycle they've planned accordingly?
Well, look, I think you have to say the latter. That and a case of being deliberately undercooked just for the moment. And we have to assume, because they get it right every year, we have to assume that they will be right for Munster. And then, assuming they get out of there, especially for the All-Ireland series, which they always are, the one caveat, I think, that has to be entered is Sean Finn, only just back from a serious injury, Declan Hannon, just back the last couple of games, Keane Lynch has missed a lot of hurling over the past couple of years, and I will suspect that Limerick's panel strength is not as good as it seems. Okay, they have a certain amount of depth. We still don't know how good the young guys are, or will be when push comes to shove. So, I don't... Look, we go back to Kilkenny trying for the five in a row. The Daily All-Ireland final, they had no Henry, except for the first 15 minutes. No Brian Hogan, who was a huge loss, we now know. Not one of the most glamorous players, but a very solid guy. And Richie Hogan as well. So can even a team as good as Limerick, if it continues on, can they do without kind of two or three keystones of the team? That's going to be one, I think, of the subtexts of the summer.
And we'll have to talk about Kilkenny in some detail shortly. But just before we finish with looking at Limerick and, I suppose, and their drive for five, as we call it, etc., etc., what you said there is very interesting because, to my mind, I don't think there's hardly any of the newer players have really put their hand up, apart from maybe Cathal O'Neill, the young lad there from Mona Lee and O'Daly, maybe. But, you know, even though the average age of the team is still pretty young, nevertheless, you can probably nearly name the 15 starters, which wouldn't be different from the 15 starters 5 years ago. So do you think there's a danger that kind of that maybe if they stick with the tried and trusted, the same hunger just mightn't be there, or are we clasping at straws, maybe the rest of us?
No, I think that is a reasonable suggestion. The one thing they do, obviously, you made a very good point, it's basically the same team. And we say every year, or I say every year, you know, can they maintain it? Obviously, their kind of strength and conditioning and regeneration, their R&R regime is just incredibly sophisticated. They are so fresh, they're so hungry every year. I think we have to assume that they will be as hungry as they always are. If they don't win the All-Ireland, we can obviously look back and say, yeah, the hunger may not quite have been there, and you can't blame them for that. One thing you did mention there, and it's a good point, Cathal O'Neill, they've been trying him out this year, obviously a very impressive young player. But again, if he is the centre-back, regardless of how good the guys are around him, it would still be quite a task for Cathal O'Neill to do Declan Hannan's job in a Munster Championship.
And before we leave Limerick, every single year maybe people have been hoping for, you know, someone to take them out maybe in Munster or even in Croke Park afterwards, and it hasn't happened. A lot of people think that for every thing that comes up that might cause them trouble, maybe Paul Kinnear comes up with a way of sort of doing something about it and maybe making a little change or two or tactics or whatever. Yeah. How important do you think Kinnear is to the setup?
Oh, I would love, I think a lot of hurrying people would love to have a couple of hours with that man and chat to him. Because, of course, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, with Clare, obviously, was crucial. And he is just enormously influential. I mean, we can infer with Limerick just how sophisticated they are in so many ways. He's really the kind of unsung hero of it.
Yeah, and I suppose in looking at Limerick as well, and I suppose you made the point earlier that Wheeler Dunnough went back centre-back. Would you expect him maybe to go back centre-back again and maybe Declan Hannan not make the first 15?
Look, maybe they will put their faith in Cathal O'Neill from the off. Maybe they'll play safe with Will Donoghue if it comes to it. Your point I was just going to make there, you made it, about Paul Kinnear, to add to it. The things Limerick have done that we were talking about earlier, you know, changing players around, Keane Lynch, everyone assumed he was only a midfielder. They made a brilliant centre forward out of him. Barry Nash was a wing forward or a corner forward. They turned him into a cornerback. I think it's very interesting that Paul Kinnear is a football man. So, you know, has come to hurling with a different pair of eyes. And, you know, he's clearly thinking about things differently. And it's very refreshing and innovative. And it's been fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and he just, he, you know, in fairness, you have to give the man credit. He has come up with unbelievable moves throughout the year. Finally, before we leave Limerick, and obviously, you know, Kyle Hayes has had his troubles, and you know, you mentioned it earlier. He has played at centre forward. He has played at wing back. He's a colossal athlete, a brilliant hurler. Would you expect? Would you think maybe with the way Limerick are going at the moment that they might even put him back up in the forwards in there?
Look, who knows? Here's another alternative, because people have been talking about this one for years. And Kyle Hayes at centre back, people have long been touting that. And even when Limerick won in 2018, when he was centre forward, people were saying, you know, natural centre back. That's what we might see happening. Maybe not in the short term, but in the medium term, Kyle Hayes centre back and kind of Cahill O'Neill just playing his position as wing back.
And yeah, there's a lot of, at least I suppose Limerick, they do have a lot of options. That's one thing, and the players are fairly versatile. And of course, when you have a big 6'4" or 6'5", and you're able to hurl as well, positions won't mean as much maybe in terms of difficulty of coping. But just to go on to Kilkenny, how happy do you think Derek Ling will be with, you know, knowing his best 15 or knowing their best positions? Or do you think there's a few positions up for grabs and also still lots of positions on the team as well as actual positioning on the around the field? You know, how sure do you think he is of his team?
Look, he'll be very happy to have reached the league final, naturally enough. Happy to have beaten Limerick. He won't be kind of reading, I would say, too much into that, because, look, Kilkenny needed to win it, and they did. Limerick didn't need to win it, and they didn't. So, as I say, he won't be reading too much into it. I imagine the way he'll be viewing it is that, you know, Kilkenny's season began there last Saturday, and that this might give them some momentum to carry them through, you know, the next few months. And look, they're still lacking in a couple of positions. Don't have enough. Look, a long-running problem with Kilkenny. They don't have enough scores from the half-forward line. And we saw that again last Saturday. Even though they were playing against the Wings in the second half, fair enough, I think it was still just, was it 2 points in play in the second half? I mean, that is not good. Even against Limerick, even against the Wings. Also, they're probably not too sure about their centre back. They're probably not even too sure about their midfield. So, a lot of places up for grabs. There's a chap the other day, Owen Wall, came on as a sub in the second half. Chap came out of nowhere. And that just indicates that they are still looking around for people. It's not a second team. It's probably not even a second panel. But the one thing about Kilkenny, under Jerry Green, that there has been no slippage. In his first year, they reached the league final. They won next year. They reached the All-Ireland final. No one would criticise them for being well beaten by Limerick in the league final and All-Ireland final last year. And now they've reached another league final. So Jerry Green has certainly kept them ticking over. Is doing in as much as he can, and given the material he has in his hands, he's doing a very good job, and very probably doing, you know, a better job, a lot better job than some people might have. Because, you know, Cody Rose, things could have gone to pot, but he's kept them very, very competitive.
You put your finger on something very, very interesting there, and when you said about the half hour line and the lack of scores, because looking on from Clare over the years, particularly Cody's team, but nearly all Kilkenny teams, you could name nearly always at least four, if not five, of the whole 6 hours being dangerous nearly in any given day. And I think this current team, when you think of Mullen, you think of Owen Cody, and of course DJ, TJ, I should say. But after that, then any of the other three might have their day occasionally, but it seems to be down to three all reliables, and maybe one of the other guys hitting form, like Donnelly or someone coming in there. But as you say, a slight lack of scoring, which is not the Kilkenny tradition. Nevertheless, I suppose there's still time to get it right before the real championship starts.
Yeah, that is it. But look, it's going to be a team, I think, and a problem with Kilkenny this summer, just the lack of points from the forwards.
Yeah, and I think that has been very evident. And I suppose in the looking at the underage, and obviously the last title they won at underage was the All-Ireland Under-20 title a couple of years ago, which maybe was kind of, you know, they beat Limerick, but Limerick were without Cathal O'Neill, who had played senior earlier on. A lot of these players in them maybe are not coming through the system, you know, or maybe the quality isn't as good as they maybe they thought they were.
Yeah, and you know yourself, it frequently happens, or sometimes happens. Obviously, one example that you're all too aware of, the Clare All-Ireland winning minor team of 1997.
Yeah.
Didn't get a lot out of that, and no. It happens, as I say, from time to time in all counties. As you say, that Kilkenny under-20 team of a couple of years ago, nobody has made it yet. And even allowing for the fact that the step up from under-20 is much bigger than the step up from under-21 used to be, kind of the alarm bells are kind of going now, and you're now wondering, are any of them going to make it?
And I'd sidetrack a minute there, in there, because it's a question I was going to ask you later on. You know, and about the under-21 and the under-20, would you be in favour of the grade, were you in favour of the grade moving to under-20, or would you be a traditionalist and maybe rather have left it at 21?
Oh, look, I'm on that count definitely a traditionalist. I didn't see anything wrong with minor at 18 and under-21 at 21.
Yeah, very good. Come here, moving on, and we might get back to Kilkenny and our chances for the All-Ireland later on. Turning to last Sunday, and Clare had a rather facile, rather easier victory than expected over Tipperary. We were expecting a massive battle in O'Moore Park in Portlaoise. It didn't happen. Clare came out of the blocks flying, and, you know, to be fair about it, came up again a very, very poor Tipperary team on the day in there.
Oh, without a doubt, and obviously, the longer it went on, the worse Tipperary got. I think you have to enter one kind of asterisk in that on another day, Tipperary will score, 90%? I mean, on an ordinary day, any team would score 85-90% of the frees that tip through wide, we'll say their misses in general. So if you convert, now even allowing for how bad Tipperary were, convert those, whatever, 18, 19 wides, convert half of them into points, different game. Now, I know you're saying, you know, if my uncle or if my aunt, etc., but it would have been interesting, poor Noah's Tipperary were, if Tipperary had managed to score 3 or 4 more points in the first half, a few more points in the second half, they didn't really show how poor they were. I mean, that's not to take anything away from Clare, obviously. They were better, they were hungrier, they were sharper, they wanted to win it more. But, you know, as with Kilkenny and Limerick the previous day, what did Kilkenny beat, what did Clare beat?
Yeah, and looking at Tipperary again, in the just as you know, and maybe the pressure is on Liam Cahill, great, and of course everything. Look at your whole season is defined on your championship, but you know Liam Cahill came in on the back of as manager, you know, very successful underage. The previous manager Colin Bonner, you know, got vilified for his performances with the team, and you know you'd wonder. You know, is it a problem? Was there a problem there? With obviously, you hear all the rumour mill works overtime. But, you know, there is pressure now on Cahill to deliver in the championship. You know, they got knocked out in the last game against Waterford last year when they were probably all but home and hosed of getting through to a Munster final. You know, there is definitely pressure on Tipperary to deliver now in this championship, Inda.
Oh, yeah, there is, without a doubt. And, okay, look, the Munster Championship always surprises us. And given the fact that Tipperary are in the firing line now, that it looks as if they're in trouble, the chances are they probably surprise us and go through without any problem. That's a possibility. Anyway, but it would be, look, I mean, what's going to be very interesting on the opening day, obviously, if Limerick are beaten, blows it wide open. But one thing with Tipperary is, and if over the past 2 or 3 years, I'm going to rephrase that. The last 3 years, Tipperary have been beaten by Waterford in the championship. Now, fair enough, a couple of years ago under Ian Carr, Waterford were pretty good, won the league. It was just last year under Davy, they were poor. But losing to Waterford 3 years in a row clearly doesn't say anything particularly good about Tipperary. Ian Carr was part of that last year, so he is a manager without doubt under pressure this time around.
Yeah. Just to finish with Tipperary, or at least to continue with Tip, the general consensus is that they're very, very poor the last day, and that maybe they are poor enough anyway for Cahill. But the wides from the frees, I think there was two aspects to it. I think one was on the scoreboard, obviously, which is pure mathematics. That, you know, they should probably have ended up with 6 or 7 or 8 more points on the board. But maybe Clare would have lifted their game, maybe not. But as well as that, though, I think it was so much into the twilight zone, the misses that they had. I think the players just said, this is ridiculous, that they lost heart. And, you know, they were all over the shop at the last quarter. But that was, I think, because the backs had been, you know, manfully tried to keep the Clare lads out and working hard around the middle. And with those misses, I think they just kind of lost their way. But I think they're capable of rising it again. And I don't think they're as bad as that at all. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
I think that is one game. You have to say it was a false game. I mean, had you played that match 20 times last Sunday, that was 19 other times, Tipperary would not have those misses. Now, they might not have won, they would have won some of them. They certainly wouldn't have won all the other 19 matches. But, I mean, they would not have been remotely as abject in any of the other 19 games. So I think just throw the league semi-final form book out the window.
I think so, yeah.
And in there, getting back, as you say, we're going to throw the league final, semi-final form out the window. Where does that leave Clare? You know, we're unbeaten in the league. You know, are Clare? You know, and they've played a lot of the league without some of their marquee players. And in fairness, Brian Lohan has added a lot of depth, we hope, to his squad here in Clare. You know, and the young lads are showing up well. What's your thoughts overall on Clare, Inda?
Yeah, I think it's very good for them that they're in the league final. They needed a boost, obviously, after what happened last year. It will not do them any harm at all to win the league final. I don't buy into this thing. It would do them harm to win the league final. It might interfere with the championship. No chance. Now, they may not win the league final because they may only be at 90%. For it, but if they win the league final, it will not have anything to do with them going badly in Munster. That's real old wives' tale stuff at this stage. I think you have to trust them to do what they want against Kilkenny, but then for Rome to have them bang on for the 21st of April.
And much in the same way that Kilkenny needed to beat Limerick in a fairly important game, I think, based on the last two All-Ireland finals and just that psychological thing, even though, as we say, we can dismiss somewhat the league to a modern extent, but they needed that badly. Do Clare need to beat Kilkenny based on the two All-Ireland semi-finals that they have beaten us in as well? And do you think that no matter what you talk about 90%, etc., that when those players go inside the line the next day, both Kilkenny and Clare are going to go hammer and tongs at it simply because of who each one is facing and the importance of getting the win over the other one?
Yeah, I mean, I cannot imagine how it would help Clare in any shape or form not to go hammer and tongs against Kilkenny, especially, as you say, because Kilkenny have beaten them in the last two All-Ireland semi-finals. I mean, just professional pride or amateur pride, if we want to be precise about it, will surely make Clare give their all in the league final. It would be very disappointing if they didn't. I mean, they would kind of be cheating themselves. I know that sounds harsh. They would almost be cheating themselves in a way if they did not give them a holly against Kilkenny in view of the recent history between the two counties.
Yeah, and of course they played recently in Cusick Park and a very good game, and you could, it was level with a few minutes to go and Clare pulled ahead to win by 3 points, and maybe it was a small bit of a, you know, a minor victory.
Oh yeah,
you
and
know.
I mean, I think that game was a lot more valuable to Clare and the way they won it than the league semi-final was.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. How do you see the progression of Waterford and Cork? You know, Cork under the new manager of Pat Ryan. You know, Pat Ryan maybe was very happy last Sunday, maybe not to be in the league semi-final, judging by the way the games went. Waterford's form has been very indifferent in the league. You know, the championship's now around the corner. How do you see the progression of Waterford and Cork as we move towards the championship?
Yeah, if there's going to be a jar course this year, and I don't know if you can ever call Cork a jar course, but Pat Ryan is in his second year with him, okay? He's probably sorted the wheat from the chaff to some extent. And, okay, look, we know the usual things with Cork: primary possession, not enough heft around the field, can't hold the ball up front. But Cork, you know, in a game played on their terms, or on the team that goes well for them, and, you know, they will score a lot of points. They will, Cork, you know, when you let them do it, or when they let themselves do it, Cork are a good point-scoring team. Much better than Kilkenny, for instance, are on their day. So I would be a little bit wary of Cork. But having said that, in turn, if I were Cork going to Welsh Park to play Waterford, and you know that Davey has been building up to this game, you know, for the last 6 months or whatever, and if Cork get out of Welsh Park with a win, they could certainly be going places.
Yeah, and I suppose, and again, of course, it is like the Clare Limerick game in Cusick Park. It's a massive game for both Clare and Limerick. He's going to have a big say in the championship. But also, you know, there's no less intensity going to be in Walsh Park with Cork and Waterford, and that's going to have a big say in the championship also.
Oh, yeah. Look, it could be that Limerick win and Cork win on the opening day, and, you know, the earth doesn't shake. But just imagine if Clare won and Waterford won, it would blow things wide open, wouldn't it?
It would be very good.
We'd be looking forward to that if it could happen, yeah. Go back to Leinster for a second. I suppose everybody thinks Galway, Kilkenny and Galway are the two teams most likely to come through. Wexford showed, I think, some good size. They had their three draws in a row, first of all, and then a victory, was it? Looked to have a few players discovered and maybe other stalwarts coming back. Do you think that the final is going to rest between Galway and Kilkenny, or do you think that Wexford may actually go out and maybe try and win the Bob O'Keefe Cup, is it, and maybe sneak one over in Kilkenny or Galway, or do you see any hope of that happening?
Oh, yeah, and I think there is a good case to be made for Wexford having a much better chance than they usually do. Remember last year they were playing off for their McCarthy Cup place in the final game. So I think Kilkenny and Galway, there is very little between them, and Wexford have improved under Keith Rossiter. There's no question about that. If you're looking for a jar course, and again, can you have a jar course in Leinster? It's certainly going to be Wexford. The one thing I would say, though, is that, and it's funny how it works sometimes, Wexford the last few years, very good record against Kilkenny in various competitions, very bad record against Galway. I just think Galway are too big and too physical for Wexford. And by the same token, Wexford, you know, are vulnerable against Dublin. So it could well be that Wexford might beat Kilkenny and slip up against Dublin or Galway.
Yeah, and it's just and speaking of, as you mentioned, Galway and Henry Shefflin in year two of the project down there, and how do you see the Galway team progressing? You know, he's tried out a lot of players, kind of gone back, you know, to some players that have been tried and tested before. Yeah. How do you see Galway? Do you think they'll have a big say in the championship, Inda?
It's year three now, which just shows how time flies.
Year two, sorry, yeah.
I suppose, you know, I fancy two teams from the region this year. One was Galway, one was Clare. So at least Clare are giving me a run for my money. And the reason I kind of thought both of them would do well was because they needed to. That Clare, you know, after the two big defeats, the games last year, needed something to show for all the hurrying they've done under Rowan, and Galway needs to be winning under Henry Shefflin. Now, as we know, not even Henry Shefflin has a magic wand, so I think what we're looking at is for Eamon O'Shea, is he the man who makes a difference? Can he kind of rewire the Galway attack, teach them a few new tricks? And maybe, in that case, maybe might Galway be finally be the ones to beat Limerick in an All-Ireland semi-final or final.
And before we leave Galway, I think a Leinster Championship is a minimum for Henry Shefflin and Galway this year?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Obviously, unless this. Either they win it and therefore have silverware, or they reach the final and somehow get through and win a quarterfinal and win an All-Ireland semi-final. So either he wins Leinster, Henry with Galway, or he still brings them around the houses to an All-Ireland final.
And Indy, before we get on to our next subject, we're going to get some predictions off you that you think. Obviously, we're going to start with the league final with Clare and Kilkenny. Who do you think will come out on top in that one?
Look, we're still a bit out of it, a bit out from it. In my previewing days many years ago with the Sunday Tribune, I rarely kind of thought about it until the Wednesday beforehand. Then I can agonise all day Thursday and finally toss the coin on the Friday. So if it came back to me kind of an hour before the match, I might have a different opinion. But from where we are, I think Kilkenny are probably the safer bet.
I tell you, right? And we're going to go on then. I know.
Are you ever going to ask me back now?
I wasn't expecting anything any different, to be quite honest about it. Yeah. And in that, you know, obviously we're even further out from the Championship. But your predictions: Munster winners, Leinster winners, and All Ireland winners.
For the fun of it.
By the way, just going back to the league final there, Kilkenny, because you know they will perform, okay? You just know they'll perform on the day. Won't be enough every day, but they'll perform. Sometimes that's enough. Look, I'm going to be very boring. Kilkenny for Leinster, just because.
Right, okay.
just because, look, you can't really say Galway to West Wexford with any confidence. And now I'm going to make sure I'm going to be invited back.
Good man.
Clare to win Munster.
Interesting.
It might be their time, okay? You know this yourself. They've been there the last couple of years. You know, now it's now or never, isn't it?
It is indeed. And finally, you know, could there be? Do you think that even though you're not giving Limerick the nod for the Munster Championship, do you think they'll have a big say later on in the All Ireland Championship?
Look, assuming they get out of Munster, you would still have to fancy them for the All Ireland. Again, the one caveat being, they will have an extra game, an All-Ireland quarter final. Or actually, no, they would have two extra games, wouldn't they?
Qualifier as well, yeah.
An All-Ireland quarter final. And that might, if it came to it, that would certainly interfere with their schedule, because obviously they drop their schedule and they measure every drop of sand very, very carefully. So if Limerick got out of Munster as team three, that would, okay, Limerick not getting out of Munster would, I hate to use it again, blow everything wide open, but Limerick getting out of Munster as the poor team would certainly open the window quite a bit.
And you're a keen observer of the game of hurling for a long time now, and indeed your articles are always much looked forward to over the years, for their you know, their incisive views on the game. The game itself, the game of hurling that we see nowadays, right? Obviously, it's evolving decade over decade. Different coaches, different counties bring different things. What's your assessment of the current state of the game, particularly as it's played by the top 10 or 12 counties?
Yeah, look, I've been banging on about this for quite a while, and I've probably bored a lot of people with it. I'm not mad about it. Now, on the plus side, it's in so many ways it's fantastic, okay? The thought that goes in, you know, the movement, the planning, the thought, the skills, the way the basics are, you know, enacted so quickly. And, you know, you don't see bad players at intra-county level, at the top of intra-county level anymore. They're all very, very good, and they do stuff like lightning. The drawback to that is, to me, I actually think it's too fast. It's certainly too high scoring for my liking. I know the basketball kind of metaphor is almost too obvious, but the All-Ireland final, 2 years ago, Limerick and Kilkenny, the first one, Limerick 131, Kilkenny 226. Now, that, if I can add it up rightly, is 60 scores.
Yeah, it's one a minute.
70 minutes of injury time. Now, to me, that is not right. There should not be that many scores. A hurling, there's that many scores in it. To me, there's something wrong with it.
Does the ball travel too far? In other words, this you know, defenders are still, you know, good defenders in the main, and the so-called system. So how come all those points are being scored, many of them from outside, maybe 60 metres, maybe to 80, to 90, with the freeze and all that? Is the ball too light?
Well, certainly the ball travels too far. Yeah, there's no question about that. This stuff about wing-backs or cornerbacks scoring. And, you know, you will occasionally see a goalie scoring a point from a free 20 or 30 yards out from his own goal. And, you know, some people will say, you know, applauding this as if it's a good thing. It's not. It's a really negative thing, goalie scoring, people scoring from distance. And here's an interesting one, and I know you know exactly where we're coming from with this. We're talking to a guy today, a guy in a WhatsApp group I'm in, and he was making the point, he was giving out about a lot of commentators on TV, that when a guy, a hurler, misses a shot, they'll say, oh, he took the wrong option. And we kind of agreed, in hurling nowadays, there are no or very few wrong shooting options anymore. If you're shooting from, let's say, the touchline at midfield, that is still a perfectly reasonable option because the ball will travel that far. Could we see Dermot Burns knocking them over from his own half back line? Everyone nowadays is basically entitled to have a pot. That there are no bad positions to be shooting from in hurling anymore because of the ball travelling so far.
And in the, you know, in general, as a spectator sport, you know, hurling, and obviously there's a new committee, and I see the former Kilkenny manager Brian Cody has been added to this new committee, Tamont, you know, that had been maybe set up earlier on by the ex-president Larry McCarthy, which has been added to by Charlotte Burns. As a spectator sport in general, in the, does hurling still show the same attraction or the same life as it did years ago?
Leaving aside the too much scoring, it's still good hurling match. It's still obviously tremendous, great entertainment. You go back to Limerick and Kenny 2 years ago, okay, too high scoring for my liking anyway, but still a very, very good All-Ireland final. Clare and Limerick the same year, the Munster final that went to extra time.
Yeah.
Absolutely gripping stuff. So in a lot of ways, you know, because games evolve, hurling in a lot of ways is better than it has ever been. It's just from my own take, too many scores. That's the one real fault I would find with it at the moment.
Yeah, and looking at this committee that Brian Cody has joined, this Tamont, and there's Neil McManus, James McInerney from Clare is on it. I'm not too sure. I've seen the names and they escape my mind at the moment. What do you think this committee can do, or what proposals can they bring to improve the game? Apart from making it heavier, having a heavier ball.
Yeah, look, I'm always wary of proposals to change hurling, mostly because, go back the years, they were always brought in conjunction, during the week with proposals to improve game football. And of course, it was football was a game needed to be legislation for, not hurling. They were messing with hurling just to be seen to be doing something. One thing, and this is within the rules, doesn't need a rule change, I would say, hand passing. Just for referees it's faster than ever, but you see it every Sunday and Saturday, the ball being thrown and seeing a hand pass.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, actually. Now, you mentioned referees for the first time, we brought them up. I suppose referees are in for a fair bit of criticism in recent years, both at county and club level, I suppose, for missing things and for getting calls wrong. But I would just put it out there that they're refereeing a game with a rule book that was developed for a totally different ball game in terms of, as Cyril Fowle would say, hip and whip in the old days. The ball did the work. You stood up and you hit your man as you were going for the ball, and nowadays, it's possession, carrying into tackles, it's off-the-shoulder passing and all that. So do you have some sympathy for referees in terms of the fact that they are refereeing a different ball game to 40 or 50 years ago with the same rule book?
Yeah, without a doubt. Johnny Calman, in his autobiography, put it very well. He said, what was intended to be a propelling game has become a possession game. Beautiful phrase, and it's so right. About 20 years ago, or even further back, you had people calling for, we'll say, two referees, because hurling was too fast, a referee in each half of the field. Now, at the time, I thought it was a ludicrous idea, because, two referees, two different interpretations. But now, I'm not suggesting it now, but there are certainly more a case for it now than ever before.
Finally, if you had to make one other change, now you've already alluded to the ball and that, if you were to make one real significant change out of the blue or out of the ordinary altogether, what would it be?
As an experiment, as I say, I'm not in favour of interfering too much with rules or bringing in new rules just for the sake of it. I would like to see, just for maybe next year's National League, you can only score in the opposition's half of the field. Okay? You cannot score in your own half of the field. So if you're an infielder, you cannot score from your half-back line, and you can certainly score from the opposition half-back line. That might bring a bit more variety or more of a concentration on goals. We might get some goal scorers back.
And I was going to actually make the point before we finished up, in that, obviously it has been 3 points for goal for a long, long time. And even looking across at another sport of rugby, and they changed their points from the...
I did a piece on this a couple of years ago, and I was kind of agnostic beforehand, but I kind of came to conclusion after talking to a couple of people, to not make a goal worth 4 points, because you get blanket defences and guys scoring points from miles out.
Right, yeah. I was looking at it the other way. I hadn't even thought of that negative side of it. You know.
Neither has I originally, and I know it's kind of counterintuitive, but there is that other argument as well.
And it is great to have all these discussions. Just for fun, we often ask our hurling guests a question or two at the end, just for a bit of enjoyment. And the question I will ask you is, if, as a Kilkenny supporter and a very knowledgeable one at that, if there was a transfer window available in GAA and you could get a player from another county, will you name maybe three players that you would love to have from anywhere? Just your judgment on
what top that you could get. If I were Derek Lynn, yes. Okay, let's pretend I'm Derek Lynn.
Exactly. And you have a few. You have 50 million.
Grand. That's a good one. Nice one. let me think. Frank Clay, you've caught me on the hop with that one.
Won't hold you to it by law in the court of law or anything. No, it's just really for fun, really. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Because Kenny needs a centre back, so Derek Lynn would like John Conlon, I would say. Okay.
Very interesting.
Right, number one, yeah.
Kilkenny definitely needs a goal or a point scoring wing forward. So, you who Ring might like, not a flashy player, but he is very consistent. Tom Morrissey of Limerick.
Very good,
correct and right, yeah.
Look, Tony Kelly is too easy, so we're not going to, it's too obvious, we're not going to put Tony in, okay, I'm not going to be that sycophantic, let me think of somebody else, another Clare player, this is almost too obvious, David Fitzgerald.
Yes, I was waiting for you. I was waiting for that one. I said, surely you'll come up. He's probably is the form player in the league at the moment, and without doubt. And you know, tremendous athlete, tremendous strength. We hope he continues that form here for us in Clare, because he's going to have a big say in the championship.
If he was Derek Ling and there was a transfer market, he certainly know how to weaken Clare anyway.
Oh, yeah, very good. And just imagine how Kilkenny would I kind of solve their half forward issues. In one stroke, Tom Morrissey one wing, David Fitzgerald the other wing.
And TJ Reid throwing it out to him from inside, didn't he? Exactly.
yeah.
Come here. The clock has caught up on us. Look, you've been very good to take the time and give us of your time here on Scariff Baked Beans Radio. It's been an absolute
really
honour.
Enjoyable, yeah.
Absolutely enjoyable and an honour to talk to you. And really thank us for taking the time to talk to us here on Sportline today on Scariff Baked Beans Radio. Gormila
Mohamed, Leo. Sloan.
False road.
Stand or fall.
Stand.
And once again, thanks to journalist Inda McAvoy for taking the time to talk to us. Pat, you know, finally, before we leave the weekend, and I suppose, you know, it's Easter weekend, but it's a big weekend for the Alliance Football League, and you have the four, Division 1, 2, 3 and 4 finals. And later on today, you have Division 3 and Division 4. Down in Westmeath in Division 3, the programme will open in Croke Park with Leitrim and Laois. Your predictions on those two games, Pat?
Well, I suppose Laois have been very strong at times in the last 20 years. They had, I think, they won Leinster Minors and different things, and Leinster Senior as well. So probably they're on the way up, and maybe they will come back to the fore on this one. I think they will probably be getting back to Division 2 eventually, at least. So, yeah.
You think they'll have enough for Andy Morton?
I heard today or during the week on the radio, the population of Leitrim has now gone up to 37,000 people or something in it. They wouldn't have filled Croke Park if every single person in the county went up there. That's nothing to do with our footballers. I'm just saying that it's hard for them to compete, you know, against the more traditional counties, I suppose, in that sense. But Leitrim will give everything.
But in fairness, good recovery from Andy Moore and Laois after losing to New York in the championship last year.
Absolutely.
which was probably the story of the championship last year.
It was indeed. But Andy Moore, I suppose, is a very, very genuine guy, I'd say. And in fairness, he will get the most out of them. And look, you'd love to see the smaller counties with the limited population and the limited resources doing really well. But look, without having a great knowledge of either team, I just figured maybe Laois might be sort of on the way back to better things.
Division 3 then, down in Westmeath, and both conquerors of Clare, down beat Clare quite convincingly this Sunday. Westmeath got a decision in their way earlier on where a goal was given against Clare. Could have very easily been a new look Clare team in Croke Park later on this evening. But maybe in down in Westmeath, kind of going back maybe to days of kind of Telton Cup semi-finals last year, or River Down were expected to win in the Telton Cup, didn't win. This could go either way.
It's a hard one. If you were to call it on the performances against Clare, you'd have to say Down probably maybe the better team. But look, that's again league form. An early round of the league is different to a final. I suppose Down again are traditionalists. I mean, they do produce some fabulous footballers at times. Westmeath have had some brilliant individual footballers, as we've been known in recent years as well. But Clare were denied a victory against them by the bad call by the umpires and the ref in that disallowed goal. So in the league round, so I figure that maybe Down is just that little bit maybe more better in attack. You know, they put up a good score against Clare the last day, and I think Clare were up there, you know, ready to fight for the cause hard because it was something to fight for. But Down showed a bit of class, so maybe Down in this one.
Division 2 final on tomorrow, a precursor to the Dublin Derry Division 1 final. Donegal and Armagh, will we see a bit of shadow boxing here again?
That's the thing. You have a team that's really nice watch to watch going forward in Armagh against a team who should be very, very organised defensively. Donegal with the men that they have echoed to them again. So, look, I suppose, again, will they want to show their hands? Nevertheless, when Northern needs to play each other, they normally give it.
McGeaney needs silverware, though.
He does. McGeaney's in with a little bit of pressure, I would think, from the point of view that a promise is fine, but you have to deliver the goods at some stage as well. But look, I'm going to go for the team that I think is the better attack, and maybe, you know, the wider open spaces as well will suit them. So maybe will Jimmy winning matches song will have to wait for another few weeks, maybe.
Hopefully. Finally, Dublin and Derry, and no doubt about it, the two farm teams by far in the country at the moment. And you know, for Dublin, the machine just seems to be rolling on and on and on. And you know, defending all Ireland champions, Derry, very, very consistent.
Derry very consistent and on the way up, and some great footballers they have, in fairness, and well managed, obviously well drilled and all that. But Dublin, apart from the first two rounds in the league when they were Monaghan beat the first day. I think they have been ominous signs that they are absolutely ahead of the rest of the counties in any division. I think they have been frighteningly good in the last few games. Their counter attack is unbelievable. If the opposition are turned over, even back inside Dublin's own square, that ball is moved up the field within seconds, and very intricate passing, great running off the ball. But another thing that happened in Dublin lately in the last few years, and I say as much so in the Desi Farrell as Jim Gavin was, their kicking is very accurate, and they're not taking the Hail Marys anymore where they used to blaze balls wide often. They're getting the ball into their score, the red zone, and invariably it's over the bar, and there's goals in them as well. I mean, Conor Callaghan is on fire. I think they're frighteningly good at this stage. Unless they're peaking too early, I think they will win this league final for sure against Derry. I think Derry are probably 5 or 6 points behind them, which is no disrespect to Derry, because that would be great. I think Dublin are outstanding, and unless anything happens at that, but with the squad they have to come back as well, I they're frighteningly good, and I think they'll win this by with a bit of spare.
Pat, this week too we have the opening round of the Munster Minor Hurling Championship next Thursday night in Cusick Park. Clare opened the defence of their Munster and All-Ireland crowns with a trip with Waterford coming to town, and you know it's going to be a new look Clare side for under Brian O'Connor and Donal Maloney. You know, brilliant year last year, a kind of a completely new panel this year. A big ask, but no doubt about it, they have prepared well. They'll go in with confidence.
They will, of course. And secondly, it's just great to be able to say we're defending the All-Ireland Championship. You know, how often do we get to say that in Clare's minor level, or any level really? Defending All-Ireland Champs, again, totally different team. There's only two or three, maybe three or four from the subs from last year are playing, I think. Look at Brian O'Connell, proved himself last year and his team with him, that they have superbly managed, coached, tactics, everything was very good last year, and I think we'll have more of the same. Waterford, I don't know, is there much expected of this particular Waterford team? Since mine went to under 17, you know even less about the players. So I'm predicting, look at, I think Clare will start to win, and I think last year's last year's victory will have given great confidence to management and players that, you know, when the Clare team goes out now, they actually expect to win.
Yeah, and we'd like to wish all the best luck to the local lads that are on the panel. There's two men from Scariff here in Paul Rogers and Matthew Crotty. You've Jake Gibbons coming from Wicket. You've Sean O'Kilkinney from Bodyke. Right. You have Jack Lovett from Broadford. And of course, you have Liam Murphy from O'Connell's Mill. So we wish all those lads in our area
very
here the very best of luck next Thursday evening. Pat, thanks for that. Finally, we turn to the sport of handball, and our PRO of the Clare Handball Board, Orla Conson, has sent on a little report onto us. And unfortunately, disappointment for Dermot last weekend, where Paul Brady has come back from his sojourn in America and, you know, showed absolutely blistering form, a very, very fresh Paul Brady. And he now takes on Richie McCarthy in the All-Ireland singles final. But no disrespect to Dermot, he gave it his all as usual. Some results that sent on by Orla. In the Munster Championships, Master B singles, Shane Walsh defeated Hugh Carron of Cork. In ladies junior quarterfinal, Linehan defeated Aisling Fitzgerald of Toomgrainy in a walkover. In the junior B semi-final, David Riley from Tipperary defeated Glenn Murray from Newmarket. In the junior semi-final, Sean Coughlin from Clooney, a man with a tremendous future ahead, defeated Colin Ryan of Tipperary. In the Masters B, Tom McDonough from Cork defeated Seamus Sharkey Ryan over there from Toomgrainy. In the Silver Masters B final, Christy McGrath, Tipperary, defeated Mike Baker from Kilkishan. In the Over 35 final, Darren O'Neill of Clooney defeated Eamon Buggy of Cork. And in the Junior Ladies, Chloe Philpott of Kilkishan defeated Amber Nolan of Toomgrainy. And Leah Minogue from Toomgrainy defeated Anya Linehan from Kilkishan. So big games coming up there. And in the Junior Final Championship, under boys, 14 boys, Cahill Ryan of Clooney defeated Brian Minogue of Toomgrainy. And in the All-Ireland singles, Katrina Milan lost out in her first year to Katrina Casey. Katrina Casey went on and she now plays Fiona Tully in the final, Fiona Tully's first final, as she defeated Martina McMahon. And, you know, as we also gave you the result already of Paul Brady, who's now going to be playing Robbie McCarthy. And the remaining blitzes will take place all over this weekend coming around the different venues. And we thank to Orla for our report. And that concludes our Sportline show here today on Scariff Fake Queen's Radio in association with Dell Credit Union on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM. My thanks, as always, to Copa Center Pat McNamara. Thanks to Orla Constantine for our handball report. And thanks to our very special guest today, journalist from Kilkenny, Inda McAvoy, for his insert and great reviews there on the sport of hurling. And thanks to Jim Collins once again in the Cult Altar for keeping everything on the road for us here this afternoon. We thank you for listening. We wish you all a very happy and holy Easter. And, you know, that we look forward to the league final and next weekend. So, and of course, best of luck to the Miners as they hit out on their championship campaign next Thursday night. So all that remains is to me, the O'Dial for Sportsline. Until we meet again, it's Bannock Day, August Long.